97.5, The Fanatic.
Flyers analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia. Thank you for your patience there, Colby. Ramon had a point to make. I didn't want to cut him off there.
I am happy to be here, and I'm glad you didn't cut him off. It was educational for me because I don't, you know, I like to follow the Sixers, and I like to see that the Sixers are doing well, but I do not have a very healthy amount of basketball knowledge. Huh. But I will say this. I think Shaquille O'Neal was in pretty good shape for the amount of games he won and the way he was able to carry teams. So I might have to give him a little pushback on that, but I'm not an expert, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk about your expertise. And tonight there is something on the line here for Tampa Bay and the Flyers. The top seed in the Eastern Conference goes to the winner. How big a deal is that to either of those teams?
Yeah, I mean, what I really just loved is the Flyers have come into this round robin kind of with a chip on their shoulder. And everybody sort of looked at them as, even though they deserved it, as they still weren't one of the powerhouses in the Eastern Conference. But they came into this round robin tournament really just taking care of business. They played with a lot of attitude. And, you know, I think tonight it's a measuring stick. I think both teams are going to be looking to make a statement to the other, because I think there's a really good chance that these two teams could be saying hello to each other in the conference finals in about 4 or 5 weeks. So, you know, I'm looking forward to this game. A lot of people said, well, the round robin doesn't matter. Teams aren't going to get involved. I don't agree. I think it's going to be rough tonight. I think Tampa Bay is also looking to send a message to the Flyers. The playoff D is all about, you know, the series and the things that are happening within the series. And like I said, these teams are going to be preparing to face each other deep in the playoffs. And so tonight will be a little bit of an introduction and a little bit of a, yeah, we'll be seeing you. So I'm excited for it.
Colby, only because I think we always eventually end up talking about the goaltending in deep in playoff series. And so tonight you get a sampling of two really, really good goaltenders in Vasilevsky and in Carter Hart. Obviously, if you were both have done well for their respective teams, but if you have to give an edge, do you give an edge one way or the other here?
You know, I think Andre Vasilevsky is just more proven because he's played longer.
Right.
You know, older. Carter is still a kid, and I do think that Carter Hart has a ceiling like Carey Price, which is to be the best goaltender in the NHL. I do not think he's the best goaltender in the NHL right now, but he's certainly on his way. And I think it's great. I think it's a great measuring stick. I know Carter Hart is a very competitive guy, and he'll be looking across the ice. He'll be measuring himself against one of the best goalies in the NHL tonight. So, you know, I think, like I said, I think Carter has more to prove, but I think Vasilevsky, who got knocked out of the first round in the playoffs last year with that Tampa team, also yes. has a lot to prove in the playoffs. So,
yeah, that's a great point about how they got knocked off. So they're itching to get back, and this would be a good step in that right direction. Are there other holes on the Flyers team? I think everybody talks about their depth, and I think you've seen that. Obviously, their second line the other night helped them when the first line didn't score. There's your dog. Is he doing all right?
Yeah, he's okay.
Oh, good. I remember last time we talked, he was sick.
I know. He's the welcoming committee, so he heard someone, and he had to give a little bark there. Sorry about that.
Oh, no, not at all. Are you as impressed with the depth that the Flyers have been able to put together? And I give Alain Vigneault a lot of the credit, because you got to be able to use your people properly. He has made some moves around and putting people in different spots, and it seems like he's been able to get the best out of most of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think depth is one of the Flyers' strengths. I don't know if there's another team that has the depth that they have. I mean, if you look at the Bruins, who are still trying to figure out who's going to play on their second line, or is it going to be their third line? Tampa Bay is without Steven Stamkos, who is, you know, obviously one of the best scorers in the whole NHL. And then you look at the Flyers, who, They've got roster and they've got roster battles going on a couple days before the first round of the playoffs. I mean, you've got Shane Gostisbehere there, who, you know, has had some up and down moments in Philadelphia, but has been a really good player at times for this Philadelphia Flyers team, and, you know, has a lot of potential, especially now that he's healthy and his knees are feeling good, to be an impact player. So, you know, you've got Shane, who's going to play against Tampa tonight, who can, you know, help your power play. You've got Robert Hägg, who's going to sit tonight, who's been nothing but solid throughout this whole season. You've got James Van Riemsdyk, who comes back in the lineup tonight, who, you know, that's the one decision that I don't necessarily agree with, taking him out of the lineup. I think you're always a better team with James Van Riemsdyk in the league. He's been around for a long time. He's a proven goal scorer. He's not a guy that had one good year of scoring. I mean, this is a guy who scores year after year in the NHL. He's a big guy. He's played in the playoffs before when he was in Toronto. So, you know, the Flyers, yeah, to answer your question, I know I was a little bit long-winded, but their depth is really impressive. And you know, you've got guys waiting in the wings even that are good players that can jump in, whether it's young Morgan Frost. You know, Michael Raffel obviously got hurt, but from what I understand, the injury is not that serious and could potentially be to start the playoffs. So, yeah, I mean, the way that the roster has been tooled, it's a real positive for the Orange and Black.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Colby, let me ask you about just the NHL bubble play as a whole. And last night, I'm watching that Maple Leafs game. They have the incredible comeback and then actually go into overtime and win it to keep that series alive. Then the later game, the Canucks get it to overtime. They have incredible play down the stretch. We saw the Canadiens are moving on. So the winner of tonight's game between the Flyers and Lightning will get to play Montreal, that came into the bubble as a 12th seed. What is it about hockey as a sport in general that allows for a lower seed more times not being able to be so competitive, which we don't see these over series in other sports?
You know, Dee, I think a lot of it has to do with how well everybody can skate now. You know, the NHL, where there were teams that were fast and then there were teams that weren't that fast. I mean, even I think back to like my rookie year in the NHL, you know, when I first got into the league with Colorado, and I remember, you know, in my first couple games, one night we played against Columbus and they weren't an overly fast team. And the next night we played against Dallas, they were a lot faster. And in the third game, it was Detroit. And it was like, oh, wow, they're a fast hockey club. And now everybody's fast.
Guy.
Every team is full of guys who can get up and down the ice so well that the parity that's created by that, you know, gives these teams a chance to win come playoff hockey. And especially this year, having the long layoff, it's really created this exciting atmosphere of parity. And the thing is, you know, you're talking about last night. I mean, I was watching that Toronto game, and, you know, I don't have any skin in the game watching them, but I was out of my seat when Toronto scored that third goal to tie it at the end of the game.
Right.
It was just exciting. And, you know, I think about the fact that there's no fans in the stands, and you still see the animosity, the energy, the physicality. And I'm thinking to myself, this is basically like playing hockey in your driveway as a kid, pretending you won the Stanley Cup, pretending there's people there.
Yeah.
And for love of the game, because they don't make any money in the playoffs. You don't make any, you know, substantial amounts of money for winning the Stanley Cup. It was honest. I know it for a fact. and you're doing it because you love it and because you want to win and because when you were a kid, you wanted to lift that trophy when you were, and that's what's been incredible about this.
Yeah, I give credit to both the leagues. I said earlier, the NBA and the NHL, one for having a thought and creating a safe and healthy situation, and I commend them all for being as healthy as they've been in terms of their testing for the COVID-19. And then with no fans, as you've just pointed out, still providing such an entertaining element for us to watch on TV. And I'm seeing an overtime game in the NBA right now. We mentioned the couple that have gone to OT in the last 24 hours for hockey. So I commend everybody because I think it says, one, how badly they wanted it to work. And for the players involved, you know, they take this, yes, it's their jobs, but they are like put their heart and soul into this. And I commend them for being able to do that.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I was fortunate. I broadcasted the game for Westwood One and SiriusXM and NBC the other night on the radio for the Montreal Pittsburgh game. And I mean, the devastation that Pittsburgh felt after that game. Sidney Crosby had tears coming out of his eyes, which I know is music to every Philadelphia Flyers fan's ears, but it's so meaningful to these guys. I mean, you know, I was kind of curious to see, like, what would it be like without fans? Because in the playoffs, the fans are so important, the way that they help swing momentum. You know, the Wells Fargo Center is deafening
yep.
in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's electric.
And, you know, talking to the players, guys said it's a little strange between whistles, but other than that, when you're playing, you're playing, and that's it. And it's, I mean, you're right. The basketball, the hockey, it's really been cool. I mean, the NBA, I watched the game, and their whole presentation is so good. I mean, the way it looks. The way they put those digital, it's so good.
It really is.
Smart.
Yeah. But you just brought up something like at home, we're hearing the announcers and there is some audio in the background. It's, you know, they're doing things to make it sound good, but I never thought about those guys on the ice aren't hearing that. So it really is like playing in your backyard.
They hear none of it.
They hear none.
I know that after the first couple games, you know, I was texting with a couple of the guys asking them, you know, what does the fake crowd noise sound like? How does it sound in the arena? And they said, we don't hear any of that. And I was kind of surprised. I figured maybe they did hear that.
No.
And getting pumped into the arena. Nope, you're totally spot on, D. That is only for the broadcast. And, you know, I sometimes forget there's no fans there because they're doing such a good job with that.
They really are. They really are. All right, a little bit of a prediction. I'll put you on the spot. No matter if they're the one seed or the two seed, what are your thoughts on how deep the Flyers can go?
You know, I think that they have as good a chance as anyone to win this year. I really do. I think their depth, I've been saying for the last couple of weeks that you don't win Stanley Cup with 12 forwards, 6 defensemen, and 1 goalie. You win the Stanley Cup with, like, probably 13 or 14 forwards, 7 D, and 2 goalies. So when I look at that, you know, I think Tampa is going to be a tough team. I think the Flyers are going to face Tampa in a 7-game series in the conference final. But I'm not writing the Flyers out of anything. They play north-south hockey. They play detailed. They don't turn the puck over. They're very selfless as a team. You don't see guys staying on the ice for long shifts. Guys are sticking up. I mean, they do everything very similar to how Tampa plays. And I'm obviously don't want to get too ahead of myself, but boy, a 7-game series with them in the conference finals would be incredible entertainment. So I really do. I like the Flyers' chances. I think up through the conference finals, I don't think anybody's stopping them. And then I think once the conference finals come along, whether it's Tampa, whether it's Boston, whomever, it's going to be a hard series. But, you know, they've given me no indication as to thinking that they can't win.
Good to know, Colby. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure. And I appreciate you having me on.
And Coach Lynam said, please tell my buddy I said hello. So there you go.
I've been watching him. I'm always tuning into that pregame to watch him and Amy on there. They do such a great job.
They do. Colby, take care of yourself. We'll talk again soon, and thanks for the knowledge.
Always, Dee. Have a good one.
You too. Colby Cohen joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. I think that would be interesting. I don't think people know that these people are playing in silent arenas. We're hearing different. And it pretty much would be like, if we want to talk hockey, like, let's just go to Canada the way they used to skate on ponds when they were kids. That's just craziness. Colby's the best. All right. Well, I kind of like that if, in fact, it plays out like he said, then we could be looking at tonight as a preview of what's to come in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Rematch of 2004.
Right. It's been a while. We said that earlier in the show. By the way, Jordan Hall, listen to you. Jordan Hall of NBC Sports Philadelphia, he put out the stats. So I think it's in the last seven meetings, 0-4-3. That the Flyers are with the Lightning.
Yeah, they have not been great.
No.
As of late.
And obviously, that's kind of what Colby was pointing to. Look, they have a lot, like, you would give the nod to their goaltender for experience-wise, been around longer. However, he did get bumped in the first round last year, so he's coming back with a vengeance. They're Victor Hedman. They have the all-star defenseman. But I do like the depth of what the Flyers have shown. And the one thing about depth is that a guy or, you know, a line in this case, they can pick it up for somebody who might not be having it that night if they've already proven that they have that kind of depth. And I think this team has. So it's going to be fun to watch. And again, the Flyers pregame show will come your way at 7:50 for an 8 o'clock start up there in Toronto. I think it's called Scotiabank Arena. And it'll be the Flyers and Lightning battling for that top seed in the East.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.